You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. My name is Damon Moore. My wife, her name is Taisha. We are the lead pastors of City Place Church. If you popped in here for the very first time, welcome to City Place Church. There are a couple of resources on your seat that are available to you just to tell you about City Place Church, how you can get plugged in. There's a connection card. If you fill that connection card out, take it to our new here area. We have a free gift for you. And my wife and I would love to just send you a text, a letter, just to say thanks for a letter. Who sends letters nowadays? It'd be an email. It'd be something just to say thanks for being a part of our service. And then there's some sermon notes in there as well. All right, so last week we had one of the ministries in Israel, Streams in the Desert. Mariana Gall, the founder, came and hung out with us a little bit. She talked a little bit about the work being done in Israel. If you didn't get a chance to hear that little snippet of an interview and Q&A that we have, I encourage you to check it out on the podcast. It really was amazing to hear what God is doing in Israel and the work that we are helping to support there. So I want to encourage you to do that. But it's also kind of like the precursor last week to what this message is. I preached a little bit last week on the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that Jesus multiplied in the Bible. And so this morning, I want to finish that story if it's okay. All right, because last week I didn't get past the first 7 verses. Today I'm going to read the passage of Scripture. It's going to be a lot of reading, but the reason why I'm going to read a lot is because I want to tell the story in its full totality this morning. And then what's going to happen is I'm going to give us some nuggets from the text that I want all of us to go home and then study a little bit more on our own. Is it okay if I teach us a little bit how to fish this morning? That way we can nibble throughout the week. Is that okay? Because I don't know if y'all are like me sometimes. Sometimes I can get a whole meal and then I don't eat for the rest of the week. You know what I mean? Spiritually. Because it's like, oh, that was a lot. And then, so my goal is I want to give you some things that kind of make you go, huh? And then the object is for when you go home, the Holy Spirit will take it from there. Are you okay with that? And so I'll be passionate. My voice fluctuates from, it does all of that because of the passion level. But my assignment today is I want to give you some thoughts and some nuggets that you go, huh? And then the rest will be on you and the Lord. That's good? All right, so let's go to work. Mark chapter 6, 30 through 44 this time. So like I said, I'm going to read a lot of verses because I want to give context. Then the apostles returned to Jesus, and they'll be on the screen as well. Then the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest for a while. Last week we talked about the quiet place that Jesus said. We said that Jesus didn't just tell the guys to go by themselves. He said, hey, I'll go with you. I'll give you my attention and my leading, and then I'll give you my rest. So when Jesus is talking there last week, our focus was, are we overlooking Jesus? Because Jesus says, I'll go with you, okay? So you can get caught up on that from last week. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left the boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus said to them, you feed them. With what, they said? We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all those people. How much bread do you have? He asked. Go and find out. They came and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups in the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heaven and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so that they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted. Everybody say buffet style. Yeah, they all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. 5,000 men and their families were fed. A lot of things to read. Week number one, we said, what is it that we have that God could use? The focus of this series is called Use What You Got. We said that there are things in our house that God can use to change our life, to answer our prayer, but we may be overlooking it. That was week number one. Week number two, we went to the beginning of this text in Mark chapter 6, 30 through 37, and we asked the question, we said, what if the miracle was beyond the meal? What if the miracle was beyond the meal? And that's where we landed on. We have Jesus. We have Jesus. We have his leading and his attention, and we have his rest. That's where we spent our time. Because in week number one, I said, everyone make an inventory list of everything that you could potentially be overlooking. And then I felt like when I was preparing for last week's message, I felt like the Lord said, but Damon, so many of us, or so many of you, me included, overlook me. We may have something in our house that once we identified, oh my goodness, God can use that. So many times we overlook the fact that we have Jesus himself. And in the story that we talked about last week, the same text that I read, when the men have worked all day, when they have been tired and had not eaten, Jesus recognizes that they needed a break. But contrary to you and I's normal response, Jesus doesn't say, go take a day off. Jesus says, why don't we go rest? I'll give you my full attention and rest. We'll go to the quiet place. And so last week's challenge was, are we overlooking Jesus? Because when we include Jesus, we get his full attention and his leading and his rest. So there is a chance that the rest that I would take from getting a day off will not complete me if Jesus is not involved. Are you with me? Because I don't know about you. We have gone on vacations, left the vacation, and still been tired. Anybody else? I have taken days off, gotten caught up on my favorite series, left that day and said, what did I do with my day? And Jesus was involved very little. But when you read the story at the beginning, Jesus was really, really strategic in saying, instead of you just going off by yourself, I'll go with you. I'll lead you to the quiet place. And we tagged it on to someone who knew what he was talking about in Psalms 23. David wrote when he was a teenager out in the field that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. David knew that I have the Lord's attention. I have him to myself, and he gives me rest. And so the challenge that I wanted to land on last week was, let's not overlook Jesus. Let's not overlook the fact that we have his attention and we have his rest. Now today, I want to finish my thought, but I needed to catch y'all up. So here's my thought today. We have Jesus doing a crazy miracle of five loaves of bread and two fish. I don't know about you guys, but anytime I've invited people over to my house, just to make sure that I have enough food, I always ask them if they will bring something. I say, we will bring the chicken. Can you bring a side? Part of that is to make sure that we have enough food. You know what I'm talking about? But there have been times when Taisha and I have said, don't worry. We will supply the food. And then when more and more people came, we didn't have enough food. Anybody? You been there? Well, you didn't have enough? Have you ever been in a position, maybe this is where you had more, my mom would say it like this, we had more month than we had money? Yep. Anybody? Where you got more bills than you've got money? Yeah. How about this? Maybe y'all don't know this, but I have a friend who would always drive on empty. And he would tell me, don't worry, we have enough. He could see the empty, and he would always
say we have enough. Have you ever been in the position where you see what you need and you look at what you have and you go, I don't have enough? That's the story. But I feel like the story, if you look at it as Jesus multiplying and feeding 5,000, if you look at it for what it is, we can miss that there's more miracles resting in the story than just a meal. So here's my question today for us is, can God use me and my stuff? Can God use me and my stuff? Can God use me and my stuff? Here's the things that popped out at me. Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, you feed them. Then he asked them, how much do you have? Then he told them to, you sit them in groups. And then he said to the disciples, you distribute. So can God use me and my stuff? I did the ratio. 5,000 people, 12 disciples. There was a ratio of 416 people to each disciple. 416 people to each disciple. So Jesus looks at them and he says, you put them in a group of 50 and 100. So when we read the story could look like it took seconds. But I wonder how long they were really there working after they had been tired. Jesus just looks at them and he says, okay, now my heart's moved with compassion. But I need you to do the work. See, so many times you and I will be put in the position serving the Lord when we're tired and he's like, but there are people who need me. Can you do the work? So the question of today is, can God use me and my stuff? That's the question. So Jesus looks at him and says, you feed them. How much do you have? He says, you put them in groups and then you distribute it to them. That's the thought of the day. Here's this verse that I found that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians when he's talking to the church in Corinth. He says, are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not in pen or ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. Paul looks at him and he says, hey, you are the billboard. You are the vessel. God can use you and your stuff. God can use you and your stuff. When people see you, they see Jesus. So when you're tired, Paul says, now listen, do you need another letter of recommendation to be the example that God's called you to be? You don't really need the question if God can use you. Let me just tell you that you have already had the letter of recommendation scripted out when God tagged you. So the minute God tagged you, you're ready to go. Yes, God can use you. Yes, God can use your stuff. Paul says you are the walking billboard for Jesus himself. And always remember it. Don't forget. You don't need any more confirmation. That's who you are. That's how God designed you to be. Can God use me? Can God use my stuff? The answer is yes. Paul says, right out the gate, you are God's walking billboard. Write this down. I was designed and created to change lives. I was designed and created to change lives. Can God use me? Yes. Can God use my stuff? Yes. Why? Because I was created to be used by God to change lives. He formed you that way. No matter your past, your history, your story, God can use you. You are a written story. God can use you. You feed them. How much do you have? Second thing, God resources me so I can be his resource. God resources me so I can be his resource. God resources me so I can be his resource. How much do we have? We don't have anything, Jesus. Okay, we don't have anything. Do we have any bread? Yes, we do. Yes, we do, Jesus. We have some bread. Okay, go get the bread. because there's a resource available because I'm still going to use you. There's always a resource available around so that I can use you. There's always a resource around so that I can use you. Why? Because you are going to be my resource. Let me give you an example. We prepared as a church 100 blessing bags. 100 blessing bags. We used what we had. And we just got a story this past week from a lady in our church named Deborah, who was driving, and she saw a person living on the street. And so she said, oh, I have a blessing bag. And so she gave the man the blessing bag. And as she gave him the blessing bag, he started to cry. And he responded by saying this. Watch. He responded by saying, can I just come and touch you? Can I just come and touch you and give you a hug? And she said, yes, let me at least, you know, put the car in park and get out. And they just began to cry, and she just began to minister to him. And all she gave him was what she had. God used her and her stuff. But here's the thing. God gave her the resource from all of us so that when the need would come, she had the supply. Can God use me and my stuff? Yes, he will use what you have. And so what's cool was the fact that what he felt like could be off limits. Can I give you a hug? What God said was, it's full access. So she used what she had to create a moment to represent Jesus, to bring him something that he hadn't gotten in a while. So what he said was, I appreciate the bag, but if there's one more request I can make, can I just feel a little bit of affection that I haven't felt in a while? Can God use me? Yes, he can. Can he use your stuff? Yes. Use what you have. A simple blessing bag. You are designed and created to be used by God. You are his resource. Write this down. Everyone is a minister. We talk about this in Next Steps as we're talking about the church one we want to become and how God can use all of us. Is that everyone is a minister. Not everyone will work in ministry, like work in a church. Like, no. When I am outside of these four walls, I am still a minister, even if my title wasn't pastor. Because I can literally represent Jesus on a Sunday and not show him off throughout the week. And then come up here and preach really good and then like walk past everybody throughout the week. But everyone, if we shift our mindset and we say, God, can you use me? If you can use me, you can use my stuff. Then I'll walk around knowing that Jesus' heart is broken for every place I go. Therefore, God, use me where I go. Everyone is a minister. So here's what I wanted to show you. This is the part where you'll have to study when you go home. I want to show you what God uses in the passage in Mark chapter 6. Because if we just look at the miracle, then we'll just say, wow, he fed 5,000 people. And that was a crazy miracle. And then we can kind of apply it to ourselves and say, God, use my supply to bless me. But really, the story is, it goes far beyond just Jesus using the meal. I feel like Jesus used more than what we could see at the surface. You ready? Write the first one down. What God uses in Mark chapter 6, he uses Jesus. Last week, we talked about we cannot overlook the fact that Jesus is the source. We cannot overlook the fact that Jesus is the main deal in the story. Because so many times, if I was to preach this from a different perspective, I would say he used 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I would overlook the fact that Jesus is the source. Here's what the Bible says. It says that it touched his hand and he prayed over it. So we have, in this story, we have the touch of Jesus and his intercession. That brings the change. See, we could say he just blessed it. We don't know how long, right? But we still know, watch, this is what the Bible says. I love this. In Luke chapter 22, it says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith should not fail. I love the fact that Jesus wasn't just praying about dying on the cross. Jesus looks at Simon and says, I am praying for you and I am going to task for you. So when Jesus is holding this bread in his hand, I don't see it as Jesus just going, Lord, thank you for the bread. Bless the bread. I see Jesus going, Father, thank you for what I have in my hand. I've got 5,000 people here. And we need to see a miracle because you're going to get the glory for this. I thank you for using my 12 disciples. They've got 416 people that they're going to need to get in a group. Father, use this for your glory beyond this moment. Let this miracle be beyond the meal. I believe that it wasn't just a simple prayer. I'm sure it was because it's Jesus. But I'm sure that Jesus was like, the same way that I've been praying for Peter, I'm going to pray for this meal. So you and I, beyond what we would see, we have Jesus praying for us. We have Jesus' touch and we have his intercession. See, Jesus is not just sitting at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says that he is an advocate for you. The Bible says that when the enemy comes up, that Jesus is like, no, absolutely not. Nope. Just want you to know that they're innocent. You've tried to prove them guilty, but I caused them to be innocent. So Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, but he's not just sitting there watching. He's like, no, devil, you don't understand. Don't mess with them. So you have an aggressive Jesus. He's not lazy. So when Jesus is involved in this miracle, this is not passive Jesus. When Jesus puts his touch on it, and when Jesus prays, he's putting his intensity, his power, and the Spirit of God, all is involved in this moment. Y'all with me? So the Jesus that you and I serve, he's not just chill. This is Jesus who's like, don't worry, I got you. I'm praying for you. So Jesus is the first. Here's the second. We have 12 disciples. The 12 disciples, this is the unqualified group. These are people who Jesus grabbed along the way. In fact, I'll prove it. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who we just talked about, also called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they were fishing for a living. Jesus called them and said, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. They dropped their nets, followed him at once. See, this was the unqualified group. This is the group that Jesus picks because Jesus doesn't pick, this is very cliche, just so you know, Jesus doesn't pick qualified people because those who look the part can also be super religious. Jesus wanted the people who were desperate to find him, the people who felt lost before they had an encounter with Jesus. And Paul, the Bible says that they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. And Jesus said this. He says, now, you're unqualified now, but I will qualify you along the way. He says, you're good at what you do right now. Watch now. I can use what you do right now. I'm just going to use it for me. So he says, the fact that you're a fisherman, I can use that. I'll use what you have. I'm not going to change the fact that you're a fisherman. In fact, the fact that you're a fisherman, I'll use it. But here's the thing. I want you to be a fisher of men. So he can use who you are and what you have right now. Business person, teacher, lawyer, doctor, stay-at-home parent. He can use what you have right now. You're qualified. Or he can use the one that was far away. He can use the drug addict. He can use the prostitute. He can use the one that feels unqualified. God uses the qualified. Here's the reason why. It's because time with the Lord changes you. So we go back to last week. Hey, you have me, you have my attention and my leading, and you have my rest. Time with Jesus changes you. Are you with me? Here's number three. We have a crowd of 5,000. We have the crowd. The crowd represents the urgency of the lost person. The urgency. The Bible says in the story that the crowd rushed to the shoreline because they heard Jesus was coming. They needed to have an encounter with Jesus. This is you and I's environment every single day of our life. There is thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people in our city hungry for God. And remember, the only billboard that they may see, 2 Corinthians, is you. The only billboard they may see is you. There's a sense of urgency. Right now, everyone around us is chasing something, chasing what they may not really recognize that they need, which is an encounter with Jesus. When Jesus, the Bible says in the story, steps to the edge of the boat, the Bible says he was heading to a place where he just wanted to get some chicken. And while he's about to go get the chicken, he sees all of these people running towards him. And instead of saying, I need a break, he says, let's get back to work. Let's give them what we have. Let's give him our time. Let's give him our attention. And let's give him an encounter. Because there are people who are hungry. So we have Jesus himself. We have his touch. When we have his intercession. We have the 12 disciples, the unqualified. And we have the crowd. Write this down. We have a little boy. In the scripture that I read you, it doesn't talk about a little boy. But in John's account, the Bible says that when the disciples are asked, what do you have? They say, we don't have anything, but this little boy has a meal. The little boy represents the vessel that God can use. I wonder if the little boy was standing by and he's watching because he's here for a reason. Because they're on a shoreline. So it leads me to believe, now I'm not sure, okay, so don't quote me, but it leads me to believe that the boy was a part of the chase. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I want to see Jesus too. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I want to see Jesus too. Because they weren't at a marketplace. They were at a shoreline. So it leads me to believe that the boy's like, Jesus is coming. You want me to say it again? Jesus is coming. I want to see him too. So he's got this lunch. So let's just play with the story. What if he's supposed to take it home to his mom? What if he works at a shop? Doesn't say. John just says that there's a boy with some loaves and some fish. All I know is that the little boy positioned himself to where he wanted to be around Jesus. So my question would be is, how is it that they asked the boy for the bread and the loaves? Here's what I'm playing with in my mind. I wonder if the little boy was there and was like, I wonder if Jesus can use me and my stuff. Like, that would be really cool. If, like, Jesus could use my stuff, because then if he used my stuff, like, then that would be a great story for me to tell tomorrow when I get back to school. I don't really know. Play along with me. I don't really know. Like, I at least got to see Jesus today. Like, oh, my gosh, that is so cool. I can't wait to get to school tomorrow and tell him, like, Jesus really does wear sandals and jeans. Like, this is cool. Like, it's okay. Man, that was really cool. Hey, hey, little man. Huh? I got a question to ask you. Yeah. Yeah. Would you like to get a little closer to Jesus? No way. Like I saw him in the back, and like, and I was just saying, like how cool would it be, like, if Jesus, like, could use me, like, but then I was like, I don't really know, right? Because everybody's an adult, right? And then I was standing in the back, and then they told me, like, he was coming, and so I ran to the seashore, and then I was like, I don't really know if I'll get a chance to see him, because there's, like, a lot of people here, right? It's like Disney, and I'm stuck. What was your question again? Would you like to meet Jesus? Yeah, but like, I got this stuff in my hand. Actually, that's what I want to talk to you about. So I was wondering, well, here, come with me. Jesus, you asked us what we had. Yes, we do have bread. This little boy has 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay, give me the bread. This is just me. Again, I don't know what just happened. I almost see like Jesus going, I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you. Hold on. I got you. I wonder if the little boy was asking, can Jesus use me and my stuff? Because the miracle is beyond the meal, y'all. We could overlook the fact that there's a little teeny kid who is in the environment of Jesus. And the little boy gives up his lunch. Like, my kids trade stuff. There is like, no, I'll give you 2 pieces of bread for the change that you have, disciples. Or I'll give you 1 piece of fish for a chance to have a photo with Jesus. Or I tell you what, I'll give you the bread, but you've got to at least give me some. The story doesn't read like that. I find it amazing that this little kid would say, wonder if he could use me and my stuff. See, the little boy represents the vessel, the resource. Can God use you? Absolutely. Can God use your stuff? Absolutely. Remember, this is the reason why I'm just giving you the thoughts, and you can study it out, and the Lord can speak to you. But I feel like this little boy had like this little sense of like, I wonder if God can use me and my stuff. And in a moment's time, the disciples are like, "Hey, little man," because I really don't see them going, "Give me that." Jesus wants it. I see them going, "Hey, little man, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Hey, Jesus, why don't you walk with me?" So Jesus asked if we had anything, and I would love to be able to use your bread and your fish. I think if you're a kid and Jesus is right in front of you, this is going to be a fun day. So if the child has such excitement, shouldn't we? Because the Bible says he's dad and we're his children. But so many times we go, no. If you could have that. But the kid says, "I wonder what God could do with me and my stuff." Oh, this is really cool, y'all. So I got another testimony this week of a person in our church who were, they were at work. And while they were at work, they got into a conversation with a coworker and just started sharing about life and everything. And the person decided that they were living without Jesus. And so while they were in conversation, you know, one of the people from the church has said, "Would you like to accept Jesus today?" And by the time they left that moment, the person walked away with a new relationship with Jesus. Now, here's what God used. The office space, their story, and that moment of time. There was no money, there was no coffee, there was no nothing. It was the office environment, the story of their personal life, producing the result of impacting somebody else. Can God use you and your stuff? Yes. Can God use me in my office place? Yes. See, so many times it could be so many different things. "Well, God, I don't know. I don't have anything." No, use what you got. Write this one. Here's the challenge. I challenge you. Watch this. I challenge you to live to give. You can write this down. Live to give beyond mere convenience and into the realm of sacrifice. I challenge you to live to give beyond mere convenience and into the realm of sacrifice. "Hey, little man, hey, you wanna walk with me really quick? Hey, so Jesus is gonna need your loaves and fish. Is that okay if he borrows it?" We don't really know the backstory of this young man saying, "Yes, I'm having a little fun this morning. Can Jesus use me and my stuff?" But what if it was the last dollar that mom and dad gave him and said, "Son, this is going to have to last us for the month." We don't really know. All we know is that what if we changed and said, "God, you can use me. I understand it." But what if we also challenge ourselves to live, to give beyond mere convenience and into the realm of sacrifice, because we all have something that we can give. Number five. We have five loaves and two fishes, which the majority of the time in the story is the star of the story. Five loaves, two fishes. This is our resources. This is our heart, or as the Bible would say, this could be our treasure. The meal belonged to the kid. The meal belonged to the kid, and he had to make a decision. "God, can you use my stuff? God, can you use my stuff?" Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, "But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Don't give mad or out of necessity, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all that you need in all things, so that you can have an abundance to give to good works. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." Paul says here, he says, God is going to give you what you need, but God is also going to give you some abundance that you have to be able to identify as abundance and not just for you. Are you with me? God is going to give you extra that is going to be for you to disperse. God's going to give you a talent. God's going to give you a gift. God's going to give you some treasures that is going to be overflow, and it's not just going to be for you, but it's going to be to disperse. Are you with me? It's like having a blessing bag. You're like, "I'm thirsty." So you reach in the blessing bag, and you start drinking the water. and then you walk past somebody and you just give them the bag without the water. It's available to us, but the extra is for somebody else. The five loaves and the two fishes, that's our resources. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Everything that we would ever release, God has said, I have already designed you to gain even more. Write this down as a challenge. So the first challenge is like, let's just live to give. Let's go beyond convenience, even to the rim to where it might stretch us a little bit. Here's the second challenge. Commit and plan to live to give. Commit and plan to live to give. Now, here's what's going to happen right now in this part. Someone's like, hey, Pastor Damon set me up. We're about to talk about money. I know how it is. We're about to talk about money. Listen, money's included. But what about your time? What about your talent? What about your attitude? Plan to live to give. Commit to live to give. Commit to saying, God, use what I have for you. Here's the final thing that's available. 12 baskets. We have Jesus. We have his disciples. We have the crowd. We have the boy. We have five loaves, two fish. And then the Bible says that they left with 12 baskets. Here's my thought. Where did the 12 baskets come from? Where did the 12 baskets come from? Because the baskets had to be positioned ahead of time. The baskets needed to be requested of. The miracle is way beyond the meal, because anytime we allow God to use what we have, there's always increase positioned ahead of time. There's always increase positioned ahead of time. The story could have ended, well, hey, little man, five loaves, two fish back at you. But the Bible says that there was 12 baskets that they walked away with. All around us, there is increased position ahead of time. I love the fact that the response of the man that got the bag produced the affection of Jesus in the moment. His life changed with a simple bag, but it produced a hug, the love of Jesus being the increase. I wonder what his week felt like just with the hug, but it started with the basket. The all of heaven, the Bible says, goes crazy when one person comes to know the Lord. So the person that met Jesus this morning or last week in the office setting, all of heaven celebrated because it was a harvest to what was made available. So there's always increase positioned around us when we say, God, use what we have. So as you give of your time, as you give of your talent, as you give of your treasure, which is your finances, there is always increase positioned by you, no matter what, all the time. So here's my challenge. Can God use you and your stuff? Second question, is God using you and your stuff? Here's the why. Here's the why. Anytime God would use you or your stuff is because it has a kingdom impact on lost people. The whole purpose of the story that we read, five loaves and two fish, was not so that we can see the great miracle of God, so that we can say, my faith will grow when I put what's in my hand in God's hands. Nope, the whole purpose was when Jesus stepped to the edge of the boat. The Bible says that his heart was broken because there were people who were lost and didn't have a shepherd. Jesus went through using not only himself in prayer, the 12 disciples, the boat that he rode on, the meal, the crowd was there, the loaves and the fish. Jesus didn't just do that so that we can have a big faith story. Jesus did all that so that the kingdom of heaven could grow. And so as God grows you and I, there are things in our life that we will use to see other people saved. So I ask you again, can God use you and your stuff? Will you allow God to use you and your stuff? I want to challenge you this week to go home and read the story. Look at how God used the 12 disciples. He says, you sit them down, you distribute. What do we have? They used what they had. The little boy, I wonder how much he really took home. Can you imagine bringing home more than enough? All because you used what you had. I believe that as we go through this holiday, I want to challenge all of us to take an inventory, week number one, of everything that we have. Don't focus on everything that we might be pushing through. Take an inventory of everything you have. Week number two, you have Jesus, you have his attention and his leading, and you have his rest. Take advantage. This week, can God use me, and can God use my stuff? He used 12 disciples. He used a little boy. He impacted a crowd, which was the sense of urgency for people to know him. He used the meal, but positioned was 12 baskets of increase for them to enjoy later. Everything that you would ever put in Jesus' hands, he will increase it, not because it's just in his hands, but because he's already positioned things around you.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.